friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our end of the week show will be spicy and sporty for sure, so I hope you'll stay locked to your radio or listening device. I've lined up tantalizing reports from Samson Omale, Yawofusu Larbi, Magume Davis, Rocco Winge, and Iron Mike Mbonye. And Samson says he's ready to kick things off in Tanzania. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin in Tanzania, where the Tanzania Football Federation and the Football Kenya Federation on Thursday announced that an international friendly between both countries has been cancelled following the death of Tanzania President John Magufuli. The match between the Harambee Stars of Kenya and the Taifa Stars of Tanzania was part of Taifa Stars' preparations ahead of African Cup of Nations qualifier encounters, which was scheduled to be played at the Nyayo Stadium in Nairobi on Thursday. Kenya won the first leg 2-1. Taifa Stars coach Kim Poulsen was preparing for the match before it was called off at the 11th hour.
We are dealing with this situation to support and help the players so they can zoom in and they can focus on the training and performing. It's a challenge today, especially, and that's also the reason we are not doing any training today and we're not playing any match today. It's a resting day. And in a short while, we'll take the team on a walk where we just will walk and have possibility official to talk with each other and see how the mood is in the camp to support them. At the same time, I also know these players, it's not first time in their life that something happened outside the football. It's a part of life. It's also a part of a professional player that you have to give him time to adapt. But we are also living in an environment where you adapt, and you have to adapt sometimes quickly. And I'm sure that the player have this professional that we give them the time today, rest, and tomorrow they will start to focus. And because the players are really eager, they have a mission, they have a vision together with the technical bench.
The team is still hoping to play the Harambee Stars in the coming days. Staying with the AFCON qualifiers, Uganda will host Burkina Faso in the penultimate qualifying round for the 2021 African Cup of Nations next week. The Cranes trail the Stallions by just 1 point and could guarantee qualification to a third straight AFCON finals if they pick up maximum points at the St. Mary's Stadium in Kitende. Coach Abdallah Mubiru will handle his first ever AFCON qualifier after the Federation of Uganda Football Association asked him to step into the shoes of suspended Cranes head coach Johnny McKinstry. Mubiru believes that his Chargers will make the most of their home advantage next week.
The most crucial game is against Malawi. Even if we beat Burkina Faso, then Malawi beat South Sudan, then we have to get a point in Malawi, at least to be able to qualify. So under all circumstances, the game in Malawi is very crucial and important. But however, there's a possibility of sealing it on Wednesday against Burkina Faso.
Ahead of the 2022 African Cup of Nations, otherwise known as AFCON, many African countries will be without some of their key players during the qualifiers. This is because many of the clubs in Europe are reluctant to release their players, citing COVID-19 restrictions. The latest is coming from the Ligue de Football Professionnel in France, who have announced that French clubs have decided to restrict players from traveling for any international games outside of Europe. This comes after club presidents from France's top two divisions met with the LFP on Wednesday to discuss the upcoming international break, and they reached the decision with respect to player safety against coronavirus. The statement released after the meeting revealed that the clubs will not make available for selection the foreign players summoned for matches outside the EU-EEA zone during the next international period in March. Oluwaseun Okeleje is a multimedia sports journalist. He says he's not surprised over the Ligue de Football Professionnels' decision.
The case in France is a very serious one when it comes to COVID. And there's a very strong and strict policy with regards, traveling and what have you. So I've been getting the vibe. So I wasn't really surprised, but I was only surprised that the league two clubs to have to join, because I was thinking, you know. But then again, you look at the League Two, you have where you have some international players in the League Two as well. So many of them are going to get called up during this international window. So I wouldn't say I was quite surprised. But I just think, unlike the previous window where they make special requests, that is African countries or other countries making requests for their international players to travel, by also telling them they were going to adhere strictly to, you know, traveling protocols and what have you. But this time around, there's been no exception, no special rules for footballers or athletes. So I wouldn't say I was surprised.
Staying with continental football news, the Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe has raised the bar for national teams on the continent by insisting that one of them must win the World Cup soon. The mining billionaire made a statement in Johannesburg at a press conference where he set out his plans for football administration and management in the next 4 years.
During the next World Cup, and also during the forthcoming World Cups, African nations compete. And if you look at what we said in the manifesto, it's part of our plan that an African team must win the World Cup.
The new CAF president says African football must be properly packaged to draw the right kind of investment.
We need to get the private sector to sponsor African football. Huge, we must increase the sponsorship for the AFCON, make it significantly more substantial. We must increase the sponsorship for the Champions League, the African Champions League.
And now to athletics, where Kenya is not leaving anything to chance ahead of the country's participation at this year's Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. Earlier this week, the National Olympic Committee of Kenya unveiled a 5-member team that will offer technical support to athletes from training to their actual competition. National Olympic Committee of Kenya identified several experts in the field of nutrition, medical, psychology and conditioning to help the team prepare well for the Olympic Games. Paul Taggart is the National Olympic Committee of Kenya president.
There are so many things that our sportsmen might not be able to understand. The playbook that's been unveiled from IOC and that's gone all up. We don't want to do things the way we do things locally here. We take things for granted. In Japan, it is 100%. They do things 100%.
In volleyball news, the African Volleyball Confederation has announced new changes that will see the 2021 Men's African Volleyball Club Championship take place in Sousse in Tunisia from April 16th to the 28th. The event was supposed to take place in Cairo, Egypt from April 2nd to the 12th, but the Egyptian Federation did not confirm its readiness, and therefore the competition has now been entrusted to Tunisia. The competition involved teams from various countries on the African continent, and according to the CAVB regulation, only a maximum of 24 teams may take part in the Continental Club Championships. In tennis news, South African star Lloyd Harris continued his rapid rise up the global ladder on Thursday, securing another spectacular victory over Japanese player Kia Nishikori at the Dubai Tennis Championships. After defeating top seed Dominic Thiem of Austria in the second round, the South African went on to sweep aside former US Open finalist and Olympic bronze medalist Kia Nishikori in the quarterfinals. Though Nishikori fought back in the second set, Harris held his nerve to earn a convincing 6-1, 3-6, 6-3 win to book a place in the semi-finals.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few matches under my belt now on this court, so it's starting to feel a little bit like my home court, I must say. Now I'm just really enjoying it out here. I think I played really well on those break points. I think I just built on a bit of confidence. I've worked on many aspects of the game, that's for sure, but all in all, just playing a little bit better.
His opponent in late Friday's semifinal is Canadian Denis Shapovalov. And now to Zimbabwe, where that country's youth sports, arts and recreation minister, Christy Coventry, says they are still working on modalities on how school sports can return safely under the medium and high risk category. Already, school sports for the low risk sport has been given the green light to resume. But the minister feels the stakes are higher in the high risk and are still consulting with their counterparts in the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education, as well as the Ministry of Higher and Tertiary Education. Schools reopened last week for examination classes, while the rest of the classes will resume next Monday. And finally, Oswama Oz Meloli, Tunisian swimmer and three-time Olympic medalist, African record holder, is currently training to qualify for his sixth consecutive Olympic Games. If he successfully clinches a spot in the 10th open water event, he will become just the fourth swimmer in history to compete in six Olympics behind Theresa Alshama, Lars Folanda, Andrea Buyukunku. The Tunisian participated in the open water marathon in Doha 2021 to prepare for the Olympic qualifiers, but did not achieve good results.
I have to be optimistic and try to learn from this race, which was not a good race for me. I was hoping to do better. There are a lot of things that count against me, the jet lag, the conditions, first race, like you said, and over a year and a half, my age. So I think I need to put it behind me and focus on the training and stay optimistic and keep working hard towards my goal.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with another extra spicy package of African sports news.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, and on this edition of Press Conference USA, join me and VOA senior White House correspondent Patsy Wittakuswara as we discuss achieving gender equality and gender parity in a COVID-19 world with Gina Abercrombie Winstanley, former U.S. ambassador to Malta. Listen to Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Now let's go to the northern region of Ghana, where Yawa Fusu-Larbi caught up with a 17-year-old footballer who was named best player at the recent Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations tournament in Mauritania. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Before the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations came by, Abdul Fatao Ishahaku had already captained the Black Starlets to the Under-17 WAFU tournament, but was a relatively unknown young midfielder. After the tournament, all of it has changed. He walked away with the Best Player Award and the trophy in his hands.
It's not something small, because people of Tamale are very happy and they are proud. And the happiness that they have, I think I can't explain, because so many comments, so many calls, and I think they are very happy and proud of me. Ghanaians too are happy to have the best player among the U20 tournament in Ghana.
It is always a dream for teams playing in the second tier league to make that all-important step up into the Premier League. Fatao's Steadfast Football Club in Tamale have never played in the elite league in Ghana and are looking keenly to qualify this year. With his team in the top three of the Zone 1 league table, the young man says he's ready to add his qualities to nudge them into the Premier League.
When I was in the team, the position where at the table was not that good, but when we were there, they come and they said, now we are on top of the table, then so good. Right now, I think I'm back to keep the position that we are in now, and my target is to qualify for the Premier League.
Fatal is the new star of the North, and like many before him, he is adored in the city and its adjoining towns. His style has already been compared to Ghanaian greats like Black Stars midfielder Mubarak Wakasu and former Ghana star Sule Muntari. But how does he feel about this?
They are my seniors, and I'm looking forward to be like them. And like Wakasu, Andre Ayew, Baba Rahman, they are the people that I used to look after when I was when I'm playing football. And I wish to be with them, play with them, so that I can learn more in them.
The comparisons may be lofty now, but the young midfielder, full of promise, is looking to make the step up and go on to bigger things. From Tamale, in the northern region of Ghana, this is Yao Fosilabi for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, Yao. Another young player who earned accolades at the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations is Derek Kakuza, who led all scorers with 5 goals. The Ugandan striker says his parents have played a big role in his football development, as we hear now in this feature from Magume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala. Sporty greetings, Magume!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. 18-year-old striker Derek Kakuza says he's fulfilling not only his dream, but also that of his father. Charles Sempeja, Kakuza's father, who played professional soccer, had hoped he would play for the national team, the Uganda Cranes, before he fractured his leg in a match that ended his footballing career.
He was a player, and he was a striker, a super striker. But he got a fracture. His career stops here. He called me and he told me, go and represent me. I know you can make it. You have to score more goals. Because in my time, I was a scorer. So please, please help me, represent me. Don't let me down.
Kakuza says both his parents were supportive from the onset, paid him to join a football academy, as well as buying him playing boots, and continued to give him both moral and financial support.
I feel very, very, very happy. The dreams come true. I'm going to work so hard so that to achieve more are coming. Right now, I'm a top scorer of Africa in my age category, under 20. I think I'm going to become a very good striker in the world.
Uganda's new sensational striker says he's grateful to represent his country at an international meet.
Our coaches, our technical staff were so giving us a good tactics, good training, and a teamwork. We work as a team, we win as a team, we lose as a team, and we stay as a team. I'm trying to prove people wrong to become a superstar all over the world.
Teammate Richard Basangwa scored a goal and made 2 assists at the tournament. He says he's glad to have played alongside Kakuza.
As we went to the tournament, most people took us as underdogs. They because it was the first time we were representing the nation in under-20 competitions. We worked hard. He had to make for him assists. He had to make for me assists. So that the team win. Like if he scored, I was happy. When I scored, he was also happy for me. So that enabled us. We had a good relationship. No one had a beef on each other. When I'm in a bad place and he's in a good position, I used to give him the ball so that he scores. Yeah, it was very easy working with him.
Soccer fan Patrick Kahwa says he was literally glued to the TV so as to watch the Uganda Hippos play. He says he was particularly impressed by Kakuza and Basangwa partnership.
Football is not an individual sport, eh? It's a team sport. So you cannot, as long as the team is winning, everything is fine. And the performance was superb. I liked it. I liked every beat. From the goal, it was all nice. I liked it. I think this is going to take us even far. The national teams and playing hard, because when they start playing young, by the time the chemistry keeps getting bigger and stronger. So we are going to see great things from them. It's a very, very good thing. Yeah.
Uganda Hippos coach Molivier Kwaso, who emerged as the tournament top coach, says he's glad to have Tusker Koza with a goal-scoring role.
I really believed in him. He has the size, he has the height. He knows how to play in front of the box, and he knows how to play with his fellow players. I think he's a very, very promising player. And once he's given chance to go in Europe to train with teams which are very, very professional, which are teams which have a lot of equipment and good coaches who are better than us, I think he will be one of the top strikers. In 5 years, he'll be one of the top strikers in the world.
The Police FC striker says the 5 goals at the Under-20 AFCON tournament will motivate him to even do better.
Yeah, I can't relax because this is not the end. The journey is still too long. I'm going to get 1 day to rest. Then the other day, I'm going to work at police for training. So no time to relax because I do work pace.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinjiri, Kampala, Uganda.
I'm Derek Kakoza of the Under-20 Top Scorer. With 5 goals, you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Rivers State Basketball Association recently organized an all-comers boys tournament in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the head coach of Nigeria's national under-16 boys basketball team, Humphrey Onyenabo.
Overall, the week-long event produced so many outstanding players. In terms of assessment, I would say the event was a top performer. From the crowd to coverage to quality of play was something else. The association decided to put this together to reawaken that loving spirit that people have for basketball, knowing fully well that for the past year or thereabout, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, sporting activity or sporting events has been put to hold. I won't tell you everything about the event beats our imagination. We never believe that to get so high.
As a national coach, did you see some potentials among the teams that participated at the tournament?
In terms of potentials, we have almost 9 or 8 rookies, 9 out of cutting home the 11 awards, individual awards presented at the end of the day. We have a 14-year-old, Cherish Eric, who won 3 different awards, the most valuable player, the highest 3-point scorer, and also the best assist guard of the championship. And we have so many others. We have Samuel Osidigbo of SBMF, and also Favour, who went on with the 3-point shooting contest and the best defensive player. We have so many persons that won award. Players that we never believe exist in this state, but due to this championship, we exposed them and they came out tops. I said earlier, this event is being put together by the River State Basketball Association, and it was packaged by them, and everything about money or finance came from their individual pocket. Man, it's not really easy. I want to use this opportunity to call on public spirited individual philanthropic organization to come to the aid of the association, so at least periodically we can do such, yeah, we can take the kids off the streets and let them do something with their potential. I know this will be better for the society at long last.
Do you think that tournaments like this should be held regularly? And how can sponsors assist the Nigerian Basketball Federation in this regard?
I believe that tournaments like this should be held periodically to test the level of development of these kids. You know, you can't just be training here from January to December without going to participate in the championship. It's a championship that you meet different players from different areas, from different programs that come together to participate in the championship. That's where you can test your level of development. I tell you, if you keep playing every day without attending championship, you can never know your level of development. But if you play more championship and less training, you will see how developed you are. And with that, you know, finance and whatever is the biggest challenge. I think we need sponsors to come and partner with the association so that this event can be done every 3 or 4 months. You see, we live in a society where most of our teenagers are gun peddlers and militants. I believe that if we have such championship periodically, this would shift their attention from doing something very, very bad. We can now channel their energy towards positive and productive ventures. So we need sponsors. We need public spirited individuals to come to our aid, partner with us so that we can do this event regularly.
That's Humphrey Onyenabo, the head coach of Nigeria's national under-16 boys basketball team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, waved their wands and beat the league-leading Utah Jazz by 9 points right here in Washington. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Jazz are just 2-4 this month after falling to the Wizards, 131-122. Bradley Beal scored 43 points, and Russell Westbrook recorded his 13th triple-double of the season as the Wizards halted a five-game skid. Westbrook had 35 points, 15 rebounds, and 13 assists to help Washington overcome Donovan Mitchell's 43 points.
We defended, you know. That's going to be the key. We played hard. I think we put ourselves in position to be successful in the offensive end by getting stops. And it's a lot easier to play when you don't got to take the ball out of bounds every time. So that was helpful tonight.
Joe Ingles hit 8 three-pointers and finished with a career-high 34 points for the Jazz, who dropped to 29-11.
Coach said it, that we've kind of started, I guess his words were kind of not hungry. Like we need to start. I mean, we've still got a decent record regardless of the result tonight, but we need to play like we want to win a championship, like we want to not get knocked out in the first round like we have been.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. We heard from Utah Jazz forward Joe Ingles in Dave's report. As Dave mentioned, Joe scored a career-high 34 points Thursday night at the Capital One Arena here in Washington, located within walking distance of our VOA headquarters. And if our VOA basketball fans were listening closely to Joe, they might have picked up an Australian accent. G'day, mates, g'day. Joe Ingles was born in Adelaide, Australia, and before joining the Jazz in 2014, he played for professional teams in Australia, Spain, and Israel. And Joe has also represented Australia's men's national basketball team, nicknamed the Boomers. I like that. Boom, boom, boom. Elsewhere around the NBA, the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers won their fourth game in a row, beating the visiting Charlotte Hornets 116-105. Another international player in the NBA, the German Dennis Schroeder, scored 22 points and had 7 assists for the Lakers. Now, the Lakers have been unbeaten since the All-Star break, and they're winning without their star big man, Anthony Davis, who has been sidelined with an injury for more than a month. In Atlanta, Georgia, the Atlanta Hawks spread their wings and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 116-93. It was the 7th consecutive victory for the Hawks, their longest winning streak since 2017. Elsewhere, the New York Knicks edged the visiting Orlando Magic by 1 point, 94-93. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Knicks big man Julius Randle, who recorded his 3rd triple-double of the season. Julius had 18 points, 17 assists, and 10 rebounds. And let's give another sunny side of sports salute to Anthony Edwards, a 19-year-old rookie guard for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Anthony fired in a career-high 42 points Thursday night to help lead Minnesota to a 123-119 road victory against the Phoenix Suns. And finally, in one more NBA result, The Portland Trail Blazers beat the visiting New Orleans Pelicans 101-93. Star guard Damian Lillard scored 36 points for Portland. And that wraps up the March 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.